Blog Talk Radio.
Do you have an idea? A dream? One that you are so passionate about but have no clue on how to manifest it? Then sit back, relax, and welcome to Love, Light, and Passion. Here, award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and guests talk about taking that passionate idea and making it an abundant reality. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Wendy is the founder of Social Abundance Marketing. They partner with you and strategically deliver your unique business content onto social media platforms, thus helping you engage and develop your business relationships. After all, making social media abundantly clear is their goal. And now your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Hey, everybody. We are back. Another episode of Love, Light, and Passion. It's been a fantastic week for me. I hope it has been for you, too. Each week, we have the ability to get awesome, excellent guests. And today is absolutely no different. I've known Beth, I'm trying to think how long now, at least 3 years, 4 years now, talk about somebody who had an idea and shaped it into something and has really stuck to it, is our guest today, Beth Portelis. She is the founder and publisher of 50isthenew50.com. It is an online blog publication for people and women and men who are going through midlife and need to know that they don't have to change it. They just need to be able to embrace midlife starting in their 50s. We're going to get Beth on air here. Hi, Beth. Why don't you say hi to everybody?
Hi, Wendy. Thanks for having me on.
You're so welcome. I'm really excited that you're here. And I love 50 is the new 50. And full disclosure, Beth and I have worked on and off together. And I just love the idea of the site. And I've seen it grow from the infancy of it to really into something quite incredible. So we're gonna talk about a couple things, but before we even go into this, right now, if any of you like anything funny, Beth is probably I love her. She does a little series called What's Bugging Me, and she writes them on and off, and they're on the site. I suggest everybody go and look at them now because they are always hysterical but very true. So it's probably one of, I've read a lot of the articles that have gone on the site, but that's definitely one of my favorite is the ones that you write because they're so truthful and you don't hold back. And I think it's a good arena to be able to just kind of let go on the blog and be able to say what you mean what you say through this forum. So before we even get into the blog stuff, what was the first time, can you remember back that you said, okay, that's what I have to write about, like what's bugging me, and how you were able to use this forum? Because I think they're brilliant.
Wow, thank you very much. I think, really I kind of have to be inspired before I write it, and I probably saw something on TV that I was like, are you kidding me? And I sat down and wrote something about it and just came pouring out. So that's usually how I have to get inspired. I see something that makes me a little angry.
and then I'm off. That's a good thing. I mean, I think sometimes anger can definitely be utilized as a good forum to do something wonderful. And so I suggest everybody, if you need a laugh or you need to see some truth in a funny perspective, check out the What's Bugging Me by Beth. So, but let's talk about the site in general, because I have seen it grow from something smaller to something greater. You have hundreds and hundreds of blogs on there now from every single topic. And how did this start in the first place? Like, what was the brainstorm to say, this site, not only does it need to be created, it needs to be created by me, and this is what it means to me. So how did that start?
Well, it, you know, it started probably when I hit 50, and just the name, I mean, everybody was saying, oh, don't worry, 50 is the new 20, 50 is the new 30, and I thought, well, why can't 50 be the new 50? It's okay to be 50. That kind of, when you say something like that, it kind of indicates that it's not okay to be 50, which it is. So I started thinking more about that, and really I just started it initially as a place that I would, you know, write a few, you know, blogs every once in a while, and maybe some of my friends would write some things that were, you know, important to them. And so it kind of escalated from there. Suddenly I thought, well, you know, there's a market for this. There's not a lot of sites, or there weren't at the time, dedicated to people in middle age, and there's a lot of information that people should know about. So I hired an editor who really helped get the site going, Amber, and Amber Eden, and we kind of went from there. We found some writers that were into writing. You know, a lot of them actually were in the demographic, so they were very happy to write for people in their own demographic, and, you know, now we probably have 1,000 posts up on the site about all sorts of information. So it just escalated from there, you know, just it was very small at first, but now we have a lot of good information.
And the one thing that I do like about that, too, is that there is such a wide variety of topics on there. You're not just lifestyle, you're not just, I mean, you kind of are daring enough to get your feet wet in everything from politics to speaking your voice about your musings to, I know you did an awesome coverage on HIV and AIDS today. So tell me a little bit of how you get your inspiration about what you're going to put on your site, because you're not, I wouldn't say you're your typical site in the sense, well, I know that from working with you, you want excellent writers, so that's the first thing. But the second thing is that you're not afraid to kind of put yourself out there and talk about a wide variety of topics, even if they're what people may not want to talk about. So how do you find yourself doing that, and what's your inspiration there, to be honest and truthful?
Well, a lot of it actually has to do with initially the writers who would pitch, since they were in the demographics, they were pitching just some topics that really interested them to write about. So that kind of helped us form, I guess you would say, a soft editorial calendar. We really didn't have an editorial calendar. We do now, because I've been working with Lisa Haas and Stephanie Schroeder, who have formulated the editorial calendar and done some PR for us. So we are a little more formal than we used to be, but really a lot of it initially had to do with the writers, and then I began to think of topics that really interested me as somebody in her 50s, and I have a lot of friends that are in the same age bracket, so when I would go out, we'd talk, and a topic would come up, and I'd think, oh, that would be interesting to have an article about. So it went from there, really, and now we do. I don't like to limit it. I kind of had to think that this isn't really about just what I am interested in, which are, you know, shoes. No one wants to hear about that. But it had to be beyond just my own interest if you wanted other people to look at the site. So we really have a variety of articles now. And it's good.
It is good because you guys really don't say, okay, just, let's not, you don't sidestep issues, which I really, really do like, because I think a lot of publications, they get nervous to talk about certain things. And I find it refreshing. And I think that's one of the things that you learn more in middle age, that you're okay with being who you are and saying what you want to say.
Well, yeah, you can't be everything to everybody. And so, mm-hmm. and one of the things that probably saved us is we certainly aren't as large as the Huffington Post, so it's not like a lot of people are going to get mad at us. So you just, you know, the people that read the site, I think, are aware that perhaps we tend to be a little more on the liberal side politically, you know, if anybody's writing for us about politics. So, I mean, they know what they're getting.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I love your political things because that's more on my side, but that's a whole other story. So,
yeah, my brother writes a lot of those. He's a very good writer.
He's a very good writer of them. I really enjoy them. So how does your website, like, so when you started this, okay, you heard about the whole 30, not this, and you started the site, and what advice would you have for somebody who's entering late 40s, early 50s, and taking that risk? Because really, you are very passionate. I've seen through the years how you have really stuck through to this because this is your interest. How mm-hmm. do you, when you speak to others and you talk to others, and you hear that conversation of, well, I'm 50, I don't know if I can do that now? Or what's your advice to somebody who's afraid to take that step or that leap, and they have this number thing as the reason why?
Well, I think that, I don't know if I have a whole lot of advice except to say just do it. What do you have to lose? You really don't have anything to lose. I knew nothing. I still don't know a whole lot about, you know, websites and technology. I am not a tech person. I don't even have a smartphone, but yet I have a website, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, I just decided start small, maybe. If you're worried that you're not going to be able to do it or it's going to fail even, first of all, who cares if it fails? At least you tried. You can say to you won't look back and say, I wish I would have done something. But started off small like I did and build if you maintain your interest in it, and just go ahead and do it. As I said, I really didn't know much about starting a website. I kind of learned as I go, and it's been interesting. It's been interesting to get involved in it because I've met people I wouldn't ordinarily meet. I mean, you, a lot of our writers. So it's a good thing to do in middle age. This is the time to do it. You have a little extra time, maybe. You're not, you know, if you had a family or you're not so busy with your young kids anymore in a lot of cases, so you have extra time. This is really your chance to have something else that you're interested in.
And I think I agree with you, because the biggest thing I hear, I think, from when you do have the whole family thing going on, is I don't think men and women prepare themselves enough for that, because this is what I hear, is that the empty nest syndrome. They mm-hmm. get it, and they don't have it, and they're kind of refining themselves going, well, what do I do with my life now?
Right.
You know, because if you've wrapped yourself around children or family or career, mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know,
right.
oriented, and that's all you've done because you put everything into it, and you go and you're like, okay, now what? So I think mm-hmm. they write about this, that just go with it, just whatever it is, whatever your it is, and don't
right.
care. And you're very key on one thing, too, which I think is really good, is that you also are very key on finding the help that you need so that you can, because you're not going to know everything. And if you're starting out something
right.
new, maybe that's what your interest is. Your interest is the writing or the putting together, but it doesn't mean that you have to do all of it. There's other people out there to help you do that, you know, mm-hmm. everything from interns to business people. So I think that's awesome. So my next question is, so we have a lot of people who are in that middle age and they are finding themselves. So what would you say is like the biggest issues that people are going through when they hit their 50s? Like, what's the hot topic now of going, oh my gosh, I'm here, now I'm realizing I'm going through this.
Right. Well, the hot topics, I think that we've focused on a lot of them on the site are, you know, a lot of people kind of get in depression because their life is changing. You know, maybe their children have left the home, their career is winding down. Health issues, you know, when you're in your 50s, before you hit your 50s or middle age, you think you're invincible. And then when you get to this age, you realize you're not. And health issues crop up for the first time in some cases. So it's really such a changing point, you know, with women, menopause. It gets, career-wise, it gets harder and harder to find a job because as much as companies may deny this, there is, you know, a bias against age in, you know, in trying to get a job. So there's so many things that come up that there's a lot to talk about.
Right. And so let's talk about career because that's the other thing that I know about you is that when you started this, you didn't completely leave your career. You started this on the side and have always done that. So you have a little bit of knowledge about the whole career thing and being in your 50s. What are some of the issues? You know, because part of it is not when you start something new, you may want to start a new career. It's not just, you know, start something on your own, but start looking at something else. What advice do you have for those people, especially if they're not tech savvy and they have to put in new resumes and, you know, that type of thing? What are you seeing with people in that age range and what can they do to still set themselves apart even if they're in their 50s?
Well, I think one of the things that can set them apart is to emphasize the experience that they do have and the fact that you're in your 50s, you are willing to work hard, you have a good work ethic, which someone in their 20s at this point might not. So you're reliable, you know, you work hard, you have a lot of experience, and I think you can emphasize that. But you also have to stay kind of with the times. I mean, you have to have a LinkedIn profile. If you're unsure about your resume, you need to go out and you need to find somebody to help you spruce up your resume. You don't have to put every job you ever had on your resume either. No one needs to know what you did 30 years ago because that's not really relevant now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's actually a lot of articles out there about things you can do, but that doesn't change the fact that, you know, you might be interviewing with someone 25 who doesn't think you're relevant anymore. So you kind of have to keep yourself relevant by knowing what's going on, perhaps, you know, dressing well and not like someone who's 60, which whatever that means as far as dressing goes. But you kind of have to stay current in the workplace as far as what's talked about in the workplace, what technology, how you have to learn how to relate to people who are in their 20s and 30s because those are the majority of people that are working in many businesses that you work in. I mean, I'm probably in my last company, I was the oldest person there. And in this company where I'm at now, I'm probably close. So it's just, but I don't know that people talking to me would suspect that. That's why you kind of just have to remain current as far as what's going on.
And I think that's good advice, too. And I think that's something key. I have to tell you a funny story. So speaking of age, so I was recently given an award for Outstanding Young Woman of the Year, which I thought was the work that I'm doing with my husband's nonprofit. So I was really cracking up, though, because I went, if I'm Outstanding Young Woman, because I'm 40, which is not terribly, but I'm like, Outstanding Young Woman, I think in their 20s, you know, that's, and I said, well, what is, and God love the women there. I was definitely the youngest woman in the room.
Yeah.
Children. And I, you know, but it was great. But, and I think that it is all from perspective, the age thing, and even in the workplace, is if you are current, or, I mean, that's a little funny. It was really funny. I literally was the youngest person there, but it was the, I think it's a perspective thing and how you see yourself too. Because I know mm-hmm. that we have really hip women who are 50 plus, and we have some others who are younger who I'm like, you're only what? Like, you know, like they're in their 20s mm-hmm. and they've got every gripe ever. And I'm like, how old are you? So I think it's I think there's some truth to how we see ourselves and how we, put ourselves out there to stay current, you know, because even in my social media world, I'll have 20-year-olds who are like, I've never been on social media. And I'm like, where were you raised? You know, and I,
yeah.
And then I'll have somebody in there older who are really savvy. So it really is about, and I think it has to do with interest too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, staying relevant is all about your interest. But, so while we're talking about this, and how important is it to have a sense of humor in your 50s? Because you do have to deal with millennials, which I hear the current right now, there's finally more millennials than there are baby boomers, which I don't think was ever going to happen yet. I read an article not too long ago. So how do you have a sense of humor dealing with knowing you're getting older, and knowing that mm-hmm. you're dealing with a lot more millennials, it's a different stage, it's a different generation by far. Not mm-hmm. that different, but how do you handle that in your 50s so you don't kind of strangle them?
Well, we probably seemed the same way to people who were in their 50s when we were in their 20s, I guess. So you kind of have to keep that perspective. But a sense of humor is important not only in your 50s, probably your whole life, but especially things that happen in your 50s, things in your career that happen and the people you're supervising and some of the things they come up with. I've been in human resources for many years, and you really have to have a sense of humor with that. So I kind of have always had it because of the situations that have come up. But humor is important at any stage of your life, but in your 50s, you start, I think it's even more important because so many things are changing. You know, I walk around Soho here in New York where I work, and you see all these people, literally, they are not looking up from their phones. It's hilarious to watch. I'm surprised they just aren't knocking into each other and knocking each other over, because no one looks up anymore. On the subway, no one looks up anymore. And it's just absolutely hilarious just to watch. And I, you know, I've put that in my bugging me thing too. But it's, you know, I just think that most of it is just funny. If you can't take anything too seriously, especially in your 50s.
And here's the thing that brings up a really good question then. And I agree with you, and I've been guilty of it, being that I do what I do, except when my son walks, because he does walk into everything. I'm like, give me every electronic. You are not allowed to do that. It's dangerous for you. But tell me, and it's a good point that you bring up for what's bugging you. So how does somebody who is trying to deal with the millennial, who and you're right. I mean, not all of them. Like I said, I've dealt with people in their 20s, and I'm like, you don't know how to do what? So it shocks. It does take me back. But how do you deal with that? Because there is such a gap between the, you know, the tech savvy millennials we have, where everything is on that phone, to somebody who's still is used to having a conversation, you're still looking up, and you know. So what do you say to people who are having a hard time in their 50s and are like, these darn millennials? And I've been around those conversations where they're like, we don't even want to be around them, and I'm like, well, mm-hmm. you're going to have to deal with them. They're everywhere. So what
right.
do you say to people having a hard time with this really difference in the way they live and think and do things?
Well, as I said, I think you just have to have some perspective. Not to say that a lot of this doesn't bug me, you know, some of the things that go on, but every generation probably experiences this. Our parents or their friends who worked with us when we joined the workforce probably thought, geez, I can't believe these people. So it's just, you know, it's every generation. So I think you just have to say, well, this is just, you know, as bell bottoms and long hair were when we, you know, in the 60s, now staring at your phone all day is the new thing that people young do. So it's just, it's kind of funny. And the thing actually is with some of the younger people is they're kind of into the nostalgia thing. So, I mean, 70s clothes are coming back, mm-hmm. and they watch these old shows on TV that were started when we were younger, and they just think they're wonderful, and vinyl records and stuff. And you kind of, you know, they talk to you like you're a historian or something. So it's kind of funny. You just sit back and laugh. They're not going away, so you've got to learn to accept the good with the bad. There's some very wonderful 20-year-olds and some not so wonderful 50-year-olds. So some of them you'd rather work with the 20-year-olds.
And what's really funny as you say that is, so one of the things I noticed is like the bright colors of the 80s were coming back for a bit there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in. Because that's, you know, like I'm like, I could
exactly.
wear my hair big again, except they didn't do the big hair with the 80s clothes. I was like, well, that's just, you know, that's just, well, my big hair.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some of this stuff you think, oh my God, it was ugly the first time around.
Yeah, I was cracking up. I forgot what I was saying. And what's really funny is if you talk to them, it's like the new thing. And I'm like, we already did this.
Right.
It's really not as new as you think, but I'm really excited that you're excited about it, but it's really not as new
right.
as you think.
Exactly.
But and there is, you know, so that brings me up to another question for you then, is that, so especially for women, I think men might have an easier time because men at some point in time go, this is who I am, this is what I wear. But for women, mm-hmm. dressing in their 50s, and starting to stay relevant, except not look like they've gone back to 1989, you know, or trying
right.
to, like, is there an age, well, here's my real question. Do you think there is an age where you're like, yeah, they don't do that anymore? Please don't wear that anymore. Do you think that that's really an individual thing? Because, you know, is there a type of style that somebody should be following once they get in their 50s? Or do you think some people can get away with things longer than others and other people you're like, yeah, please don't do that. Don't wear that. I mean, what do you think?
I think it probably depends on the individual. I do think that at some point you have to look at something in fashion and say, I think I'm beyond that. And, you know, you might really even like it and think, oh, that's such a cute piece of clothing. But then you realize, you know, I'm in my 50s. I probably need to let that one go. But that doesn't mean you have to dress frumpy or anything. There's plenty of styles out there that look great on anyone at any age. It's just a matter of how you feel about yourself and how confident you are wearing something. I mean, look at someone like Betsy Johnson, who the designer. Mm-hmm. I think she's in her 70s. She still dresses like she's in her 20s, but it fits her because she's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other people might dress that way, and you're thinking, "Oh, honey, no." You know? But you know, it's an individual thing, I think. But you shouldn't say just because I'm 50, I can't dress well. I have to dress, you know, in sweater sets now or something, you know, and although you might look good in it, but so.
Well, and this brings me to the other question, too, because I hear a lot of women who get, I think 40s, something happens and clicks in their 40s, and they go, and I know you have short hair, but you've always had it so that, you know, for as long as I've known, at least you, all the pictures I've seen has short hair. But is there something that really clicks in women's head that they go, okay, I've had long hair all my life, and now I have to go short? Like, I don't know what happens in their 40s, and I'm like, Really? You do? Like, it's amazing to me. It's somewhere in
It's odd because you don't have to do anything. I think you should just try and make your hair look good. You should wear what looks good on you. And, you know, with some people, it's short hair. I certainly think I look better in short hair than long hair. But if you look great in long hair, you don't have to cut it just because you're 40 years old. Just make sure it looks good.
I don't know what that is. They're like, all of a sudden the hair comes off, and I'm like, that's an interesting concept. I've never heard of that as an age thing. But and then yet I see women do it all the time. They're like, well, you know, it's and I'm like, I don't know where that idea came from, but to me it seems ridiculous. I'm like, well, if you like your long hair, mm-hmm, and it's easy, mm-hmm, go for it. But one of the things is, and on a more serious topic is, we have an awful lot of people in their 50s who are now taking care of their children still, maybe, or getting them ready for college, or they've just gotten them out of college, and now they're taking care of their parents.
Right.
It's like, and because they're just, you're just in that middle age bracket, what issues are unique to that happening? I mean, and what kind of stress is it putting on family, people in their 50s, because they're trying to do both?
Right. Well, first of all, with children, they're probably staying in your house longer, or you're actually more responsible for them longer, and that could be the way people have raised their children these days. I remember when I hit the end of college, there wasn't really a thought that I would move home. It would be like, well, I got to get out. I have to find an apartment and, you know, find my way. But I think with the cost of college and the costs of, you know, renting different places, it's very hard for children to move out on their own. So now you still have them where they might have been gone before. With parents, I mean, it is such a stressful thing. You're trying to do what you can for your own family, and then you have your parents who could be failing, and you have that worry, and you're the one responsible for taking care of them, or at least ensuring that things are going well with them. And it's a hard situation to be in. It takes, and I think it falls a lot of times to the woman rather than the men, but, you know, not always, but it women tend to take on more responsibility like that. And so it is stressful. And the thing is, with your parents, you want to do the right thing for them, and you think you know what the right thing is for them, but they're adults, and you can't make people do what you want them to do just because you think it's the right thing for them. So there's that stress, too. You might know what they should have, but they're resistant to it, and mm-hmm, they have every right to be. They're adults. So you're kind of have no control over anything. You have your children living at home, but they're kind of adults, so they don't pay as much attention as you think they should. And then you have your parents who you think you're trying to do the right thing for, but they might be resisting because, you know, maybe they don't want to leave their home, or they don't think they're ill, or, you know, it's having very little control over anything, but having a lot of responsibility for it. So it's definitely a stressful time.
And what would your, what would be your ideas for people going through that stress? Because, and I've seen articles, you know, your blog is big on travel and stuff, but like, what do you say to them to continue to take care of themselves? Because I think, you know, here we're talking to you about, you know, being 50, feeling great, and saying, okay, go try something new. How do you mm-hmm. not get bogged down when you have a situation where you're either still caring for children or you know, where does that balance come in for that person? Like, what are things that they can still do to not
get around? Well, I think one of the things you have to do, and some of our articles have pointed to this, is carve out a little time for yourself, you know, where you can do something that you want to do, and not have that responsibility. Maybe if it's just, you know, for an hour a day. A lot of times people take that hour and maybe they go exercise and they get their stress out, which is good for two things: reducing the stress, getting you out of the house doing something for just yourself, and also, as you get older, the more you exercise, the better it is, obviously, for your health. So that's one thing that we've talked about on the site, and the value of exercising just for a lot of reasons. I'm sure there are groups. I've been lucky. I haven't really been in the situation that you're describing. I mean, I have parents who are elderly, but my father, who's still alive now, is in very good shape, so luckily he pretty much goes it on its own, but we certainly check in on him and everything, but he's doing great. But for people that, you know, there's a lot of people in that situation, and I'm sure there's support groups and everything. There's support groups for people taking care of people with Alzheimer's and everything, so it would be probably worth your while to get involved with something like that, so at least you can talk to people who are going through the same thing and maybe get some hints or, you know, some guidance on what you might be able to do.
And I think that is key, because I think it's not going at it alone. I think that that's the one thing that anybody at any age can say, okay, maybe I shouldn't go through this alone anymore. And because if you get stuck in that, I don't care what age you are, it feels overwhelming. And I think exercise
right.
is a great tip too, because it helps get that everything out. So I want to ask you some fun questions about the site. So
okay.
The first fun question is, because you do series, every once in a while you'll run series, and it sounds like you're doing more of an editorial calendar, but what's your, if you can think of all, because you have a lot of, what's your favorite series you've done of articles? What type of, what's your favorite one that you say, yeah, that was the one?
I would say, well, we've done a couple that were fun. We had Sex Week on the site, which was kind of fun. And it got a lot of viewership, too, I have to say.
Imagine that.
Well, sex sells, as we all know. But I probably my favorite was a week we did on articles about resilience in different situations.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of stories about how people got through some very tough times that I thought we offered some good suggestions, and they had some good advice on how they made it through. So that's probably my favorite series we've done, because I think to be resilient is a great trait to have, and I kind of see resilience less and less among people, maybe even among younger people who don't seem as resilient or as, you know, able to just ignore things and move forward as other people have been. So that was probably my favorite.
I think that's a very important topic that anybody could read on, because I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
mm-hmm.
we get bogged down by life and it gets harder. I see that you have a new fun thing on your where did it go? I just saw it. You're doing a kind of like a drink, like different cocktails.
Oh, yes.
That sounds like a lot of fun. How did that come about?
Well, that was an idea by Lisa Haas. So she found this drink that she really liked in a bar in Brooklyn, and so she kind of thought, well, it would be fun to feature a drink every month. So, and I'm always up for having a drink, so why not?
That's awesome. And that's it. So go if you're trying to have a party this weekend, this is the perfect time for that, because it's Memorial Day
Absolutely.
Weekend. Absolutely. You need a drink to do. Go do a search on the drink of the month and find out what it is, because that's a lot of fun that you're doing. And
right.
are you did you run or are you running a contest right now?
Well, Lisa and a friend of hers, Heather, took I think it's Pedego Pike out. It's an
uh-huh.
electric bike, and the contest we're running is they gave us a bunch of their watches And so we're giving a watch away each day if you read the article and can answer the question that we have on the site.
And you're
on our Facebook page, actually.
Yeah, okay. So 50 is the new 50 Facebook. Go read the article, mm-hmm. answer the question. You can win a new – and how long are you running that to?
I think by the end of this week it'll be.
Okay, so you have a couple more days.
You have a couple days, yeah.
A couple days to win a watch. How cool is that? Okay, so the other thing that I want to talk to you about is so you have different topics, and I remember because just it was, oh gosh, almost 2 years ago now, you guys updated the website. You did mm-hmm. a revamp, mm-hmm. and you lessened some of your topics and kind of put them under more broader categories. So one of my favorite, though, is called Middle Age Musings. How did that topic mm-hmm. come about? Because that's a great headline. I mean, the other ones are kind of standard, but Middle Age Musings, and what kind of things fit under that topic?
Well, the things that fit under the topic are just, you know, essays by people talking about things related to middle age, entertainment and humor we have under that. We have a life coach who gives advice, Dr. Stanwicks. He's under middle age musings, but it's mostly just, I mean, when you say musings, it's just, I just happen to like the word. I thought it went with middle age, so we kept it even though our people dealing with SEO probably didn't think it was the best idea as a topic, as a head column to feature, but I just liked the sound of it. And it's, you know, you muse, you talk about certain things, so it's, that's how it came about, really.
I like it. I always love the title. I know it's not great for SEO, but it's really good. So just look it up and you'll find it, and it's awesome. So one of the things that we should talk about on its near the end of the show is what is it like, because, and this is some of the articles that you deal with on your on the blog is dating in your 50s.
Oh, and, yes.
Yes, all right. So we brought it up before. I have to come back to it because what makes, well, there's two things, because, you know, you could be older and find yourself, you know, in your 50s all of a sudden getting a divorce, and that mm-hmm. is mind-blowing. Or people who've
right.
never been married or whatever they can. What makes dating in your 50s different than when you were in, let's say, your 20s or even 30s? Like, what changes mm-hmm. in that realm?
Well, you know, you talk about needing a sense of humor. You definitely need one to date in your 50s. I think the difference dating now, I don't know if it ever really changes. You're still always, you know, wanting to meet somebody nice who you have common interests with. That probably never changes. But I think you're probably, first of all, if you meet somebody, you're not going to waste a lot of time if you really like each other. You know, there's a little less, trying to figure out what the other person is thinking, you know, the games and stuff. I think there's less of that, hopefully. You would hope in your 50s, not always, but mostly. And I think you kind of know what you like and what type of person meshes well with you and who you are. So you're going to be less tolerant of someone who perhaps doesn't treat you the way you think you should be treated, or you're not going to, I think in your 20s you try and become the person that the other person wants if you like them, and when you get to your 50s, you're kind of like, this is the way I am, either you like it or you don't, and if you don't, well, I'm moving on.
Is there freedom in that? There must be so much freedom. I mean, I'm obviously married, so, but I'm thinking there's more freedom than that pressure when you're in your 20s.
I think there's more freedom. One of the things I think that people recognize more in their 50s, and I guess it depends on where you are kind of in the dating cycle. If you, I mean, I was married, but I've been divorced for quite a few years now. So I think you realize that it's okay to be alone than to mm-hmm. be with somebody who makes you miserable. It's
right.
not that, you know, you are fine by yourself. There are some people, obviously, that run out, and as soon as they endure a breakup or they're just recently divorced and they're so used to having somebody that they kind of rush into something. But I think if you've been out there for a while, you realize, you know, it's okay. If I never ended up meeting Prince Charming, if he exists, that might be okay. You know, I have friends, I have family, I have people that have my back in a way. So having someone to date that you really like is a nice to have, but it's not a need to have anymore, which is a lot less stressful dating-wise.
And let me ask, well, that brings up another thing. So where, you know, you're in your 50s, you're single, are you on Match.com? Are you going to bars to meet them? Like, where, what?
I think you're probably not going to bars anymore. I mean, it's a rare thing where you meet somebody in a bar. When I was in my 20s, I met plenty of people in bars. You know, it was easy because everybody was the same age. Now I go out in New York City, and the majority of people in a bar are going to be younger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to meet someone your age, if you're looking to meet someone younger, maybe that's what you do. But if you're looking to meet someone relatively close to your age, to me, a lot of people use online dating sites. And we've had articles on the site about that, you know, how you should set up your profile and what you should say and the care you should take. But I think a lot of people in this age group are doing online dating.
And which brings back to the tech question, it's not hard. I mean, you know, I think I think you don't have to, and it's not like a Facebook or it's a different type of program.
Right. I mean, you have to set up your profile. It's really all about the marketing. You have to pick the best pictures, and you have to, you know, say something clever in your profile in order to get the attention, because there's a lot of people on these sites. It's kind of like looking at the catalog from my childhood, the Montgomery Ward's catalog, you know. There might be someone nice on this page, but the next page there's even a better one. So you have to kind of make yourself stand out in a way.
And how long do you suggest for somebody who's doing this, like that it's okay to meet that person? Is there a time limit to say, okay, we've chatted for this long, or we've had this many, you know, conversations, or we talked on the phone first? Like, what's the, because I, you know, you brought up safety, and I'm sure that that's what people, because we hear all the horror stories, and then we don't hear that work out. You know, they don't focus on that as much. So what's your safety tips?
Well, never meet somebody outside of a public space where there's other people around the first time anyway. I don't think there's any specific number of emails you have had to exchange or conversations you've had. You know, frankly, I don't like to spend weeks exchanging emails. I think in situations like that, you tend to never meet the person, actually. I think you exchange some emails, maybe you have one phone conversation, and then you decide to meet. If it goes on much longer than that, the person is probably never going to meet you. If it's just, there's a lot of people on there that, on these dating sites, that just want to see how many emails they can get returned, I think. I don't know. But I don't think it should go on for a long time before you decide to meet the person.
Okay. Good to know.
But always in a public space. I would never have someone at my apartment or go over to somebody's apartment. I mean, even if I met them once and had a drink, my safety thing is I probably, until I got to know them a little better, I wouldn't invite them to my home or go to theirs alone.
But that's just me. Mm-hmm. And you meet there so that it's in a safe environment.
Right.
So the only last question I think that I have, because we're actually almost out of time, and I always ask a fun question at the end, is you can explain it afterwards, but if you could pick one word to describe your journey of from the start of this website to now, what would it be?
From the start to now, I would just say learning, in a way. I know that's kind of dull, but like I said, I really didn't know anything about it. I didn't know any writers. I didn't know how to even advertise to get writers or do anything on a Facebook page or anything like that. And I've learned by meeting the people that I've met that helped me with the site as I've gone along. So it's really been a great learning experience.
I think there's truth to that. But what's more important of the word learning is that it doesn't stop at any particular age. And
right.
That is really the key to what you just said. And I think that when you are passionate about an idea and you want to go and have it grow, the willingness to be able to learn and to move it forward, I think, is key.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the age. So that's awesome.
Yeah, you said it better than me, Wendy.
Well, I have had a blast with you on the show. I really encourage everybody to go to 50isthenew50.com, sign up for their email blast, because it is great. You will get a great article in your email every morning, which is just fantastic. And go to their Facebook page this week and see if you can win a watch. That's awesome. Also an awesome thing that they're doing right now. And you do contests, when you can here and there. So
mm-hmm.
Facebook page is just great to watch for those type of things. But we are almost out of time. I have had a blast. It was so nice to hear from you.
Thanks, Wendy.
And going over the website, I think I've always thought it's fabulous and continue to. And a lot of my friends love it, and they've been subscribing and reading it for a long time now. So I encourage everybody, because and everything from, like I said, politics to fashion, you have it all on there. So it's a great, great read. So thank you so much, Beth. Thank you, thank you.
Well,
thank
thanks
you.
A lot, Wendy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And we're going to end with our commercial now, and we will see you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Are you sick of people telling you that 50 is the new 30? Sounds a bit condescending, doesn't it? What is the problem with 50 just being 50? There is nothing wrong with admitting and embracing your age and the experience and wisdom that comes with it. 50isthenew50.com does just that. Our online magazine celebrates people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s and has good info for people who realize they will get there someday. We feature articles on health, lifestyle, relationships, careers, and retirement, travel, fashion, aging in place, and more. We do it with a sense of humor and respect for what we have all been through and what we have to look forward to. After all, as our tagline says, middle age is just the cocktail hour of life. Please check us out at www.50isthenew50.com. You've been listening to Love, Light, and Passion with Wendy Manganiello. Visit her at www.socialabundancemarketing.com.